Hey, this is Fish and Frank, and we got Captain Kale on the line. Do a little fishing report for you here. So get ready, get set. It's about to get like real fishing stuff involved. Okay, hey Kale.
How are you doing?
Oh, just peachy dandy, lots of fruit and vegetables, adjectives, you know?
Oh yeah?
So what's it like out in the real world?
It was actually a not bad day until the winds picked up this afternoon. It was nice to see the harbor calm for a change.
So, where were you?
We started out at Marker 2 to get some bait and went down to about halfway down the west wall to get a little more bait. And then we went out into the middle of the harbor around the upper hole, do a couple drifts for cobia, and then we went in behind the bar on the east side for redfish and snook.
All right, well, let's fall back with the cobia thing. What was going on with that?
We've been drifting trout and large threadfin out there on the west side of the upper hole, and there's been some cobia in there, a lot of black tips in there. Every once in a while, you'll see a tarpon roll out there.
Okay, how? I take it it's been pretty steady out there then on the cobia. Any size to them?
Well, today was the first day that we were out there, and we missed a pretty good sized one. I've had a client that's been out there just about every day whacking them in the morning, so we had to give it a try.
Hey, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained, you know?
Right.
So, what's been, so you did a couple drifts, you get hit on anything?
Yeah, we had one really good pick up and run. didn't bite through the leader, so it wasn't a shark. There wasn't any slime on it. So it wasn't a catfish, so I get a feeling it was probably a cobia. It took off and ran like one, that's for sure. Poor guy, we didn't expect it. You know, you sit out there and you drift for 10, 15, 20 minutes, and your mind starts to wander to other things, and you're usually not ready when something hits.
Funny, I was just talking about that. I was on the phone with a guy, and he says, well, I just cast my bait off. I got tarpon all around me, and I'm trying to make a cast, and it's tangled in the other rod, so that rod's going to get hit right now.
Yep, that's usually the way it works.
Yeah. Whatever can happen will happen.
I don't know what Murphy's Law, I don't know what his attraction is with fishermen, but he seems to like us the best.
So, anyway, so you've been on the water quite a bit here lately. I haven't seen you much, so I'm assuming, you know, things are...
Yeah, we've been running pretty much steady. I'll tell you what, I was starting to get to the point where I would almost like to see a four-year moratorium on redfish like we did with snook. You know, there are so many snook out there right now, it isn't even funny.
Well, it doesn't exactly work the same way because the redfish don't exactly live here.
Oh, no.
And once they get out past the 3 miles, they're subject to purse seining and just a huge array of different stuff that, while it is a good idea, it's just kind of impractical to actually use it, the, you know, comparison on the two of them. You know, at least in my world of Frankisms, you know.
Well, no, you'd have to stop it from top to bottom, not just recreational. You'd have to stop commercial. You'd have to stop everything.
Yeah.
But the snook population is just phenomenal right now.
Well, a lot of that has to do with timely rain. We've had very timely rains for the last few years, which has pushed the vast majority of the snook out to the barrier islands to spawn and just making a lot more eggs viable. And
yeah.
It's the years where we don't have any rain up until they start spawning, and then it rains, and then we lose huge numbers of snook.
All right, whatever it is, work, because you can go down that east side and just pick a shoreline and work it, and you're going to pull snook out from underneath almost every mangrove you hit. I lost count how many we caught today.
Well,
unbelievable amount of snook out there.
I've had some amazing reports of redfish back in the canals in Port Charlotte.
Well, somebody's got to figure out where they're hiding. You know, even Carl called me up and said, you know, where are all the redfish at? And if Carl's calling me for redfish, there's a problem.
Well, I got a hunch that a lot of them are back up in the canals for some unknown reason that's inexplicable to us mere humans. But
well, I still think we have a lot of crabs up in the canals. I think we've got still quite a few glass minnows up there, pinfish up there. So there's a lot of food sources up there. But there's just as many out on the flats, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think, again, it comes down to pressure, you know. Not a whole lot of mullet fishermen, not a whole lot of tournament fishermen out there inside the canals. So it's quiet.
Yeah, nice quiet place to hang out. So, but all in all, have you been hearing anything else about the fish? I heard there's not a tremendous amount of big sharks out there. What are you finding up in the harbor?
The big ones have been hard to find. There's 20 million 3 to 4 foot black tips out there, and a lot of sharp nose and a lot of black nose, which is pretty normal for this time of year. Give it a month, and I think the lemons and the bulls will start trickling back into the harbor. You know, they have their attention fixated out there in the pass on tarpon.
Yeah, but there isn't even much going on with the tarpon for as far as sharks this year. Been a thin year on the sharks.
It has been a slow year. It's been a slow year overall, without a doubt.
Yeah, thin year on sharks.
I'm not even in triple digits for sharks this year, and I should be almost to 200 already.
Wow.
So it's been a definite slow year.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I think a lot of it may be from our lack of bait last year. How many sharks come in here last year and said, well, this just sucks.
Yeah, there was no food in the harbor for them. This year, there seems to be a few mackerel. There seems to be a little bit of a lot of different fish out there.
Yeah. I got to get a picture of a bait fish that I've been catching in the net and the sabiki ring. It's something I've never seen out here. It's got a head almost like a greenback, but then it has the body of those leather jackets or skipjacks, those ones that got the two little stingers
right
on their belly.
Skipjacks, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't have that stinger, and they've got a completely different shaped head.
Yeah,
I've never seen them before.
You're going to have to get a picture of those for me.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we have Mayan cichlids in the harbor, we've got tilapia out in the harbor, we've got, you know, between the thread fins, and then there's the river shad, which usually starts showing up as it starts to rain, but I don't think we've had enough rain for them to come down yet.
No, not quite yet. I mean, all of our rains have been local, which doesn't do us a bit of good.
No, not at all. The localized rain, we need rain up in... you know, Wachula and Arcadia.
Right.
Orlando, they get a bunch of rain. We do real good.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, what's your advice for people out there?
Take advantage of all these snook. We've waited 4 years to catch them. Get out there and catch them.
Well, they're out of season right now, so it's definitely catch and release, but...
Well, absolutely, but just about... You know, half of our fish in the harbor are catch and release, but you still don't avoid them. Go catch them.
I've been hearing some pretty good things on Goliaths.
The Goliaths have been going crazy. I think we're going to try and get some Goliath trips in next week to Alligator Creek Reef. if the Goliaths are starting to stack up there, it won't be long. The gag grouper will start showing up there also.
Right. And I haven't had any reports on them. A little bit down off the north end of Pine Island, some small ones.
Yeah, it's still a little early. I was looking back through my calendar last year, and it was late to mid-July. when we were really catching them out in front of Bird Store.
Yeah.
It was 3 days before season opened, whatever that was last year.
Gotcha. Now, did, let's see, you've been fishing the west side and all that. There's plenty of snook out there. Have you been using any artificials or throwing mostly bait?
Nope, throwing all bait.
Okay. Well, anything else we can go over? Anything we should talk about here? When did you get off the water today?
I got off about 3 o'clock.
That's a nice time to be done and back in. I'm a big one for this time of year. I fish until about 1. I want to be back at the house between by 2 o'clock and sit in the AC until 5 and then think about going out again.
Yeah. Get out there, clean the boat, and when it's a little bit cooler, and take care of the rods and the reels, and be off the water before the storms and it really gets hot.
Yeah, that 2 o'clock sun is a little much for my old self.
Well, the good news is the past couple of days have been overcast, and before that it was relatively windy, so it never really got unbearable out there.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I spent a day or so working under the house, and I can tell you around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it was a little close.
Yeah, a little warm, huh?
Yeah, a little warm. So, but anyway, all that aside, everything else sounds like it's going pretty good. Sounds like the fish are actually cooperating. What are you getting the most requests for on charters right now?
I think it's been mostly inshore all of a sudden. A few weeks ago, it was tarpon and shark. Now everybody's switched to inshore. Most of my shark trips, I've been running at night. That works well up until the full moon, which is where we're at now. Most of those fish during the full moon, at least the big ones anyways, are going to start heading out towards the pass to breed. So you're leaving the little ones underneath the bridge during your full moons.
Right. No, it sounds like, with as weird as the year was, it sounds like the beginning of June is on track for the beginning of June.
Yeah, everything's come back to normal. I mean, we were so worried about everything happening early, April time frame, and it looked like things were going to be early, and I think we're right back on schedule now.
Oh, that's good. So, anyway, Captain Kale, you can hire him to go out on his boat and do charters, or you can hire him to go out with you on your boat and show you where to go, what to do, and how to get in on some of this good fishing. And because you teach everything from how to use a GPS to how to throw the cast net to where to go and what to do.
Yeah. We, as a matter of fact, I had a charter on my boat a few days ago. That's all the guy wanted to know how to do. Take me out, show me how to get bait. You don't even have to put rods on the boat. Show me how to get bait.
Yeah, it becomes quite a thing because at this time of year, shrimp isn't as good a bait in some of the areas. Now, the one thing I have been hearing, flopping back to that redfish thing, if you're not throwing shrimp, you're not catching redfish right now. They just don't seem to be chasing the white bait the way they normally would be at this time of year. And the few guys I know that are doing anything with the redfish are doing shrimp.
Well, I think it's the shrimp gives the redfish time to find it. When you throw a white bait in this harbor, a snook's going to be on it in 3 seconds flat. You know, those poor, slow, fat redfish don't have a chance. So, yeah, I would agree with that. Throw shrimp, you probably will have a better chance to catch the redfish. This time of year, the snook aren't going to be looking at shrimp as much as they are fish. And you might actually stand a chance of catching some.
Yeah, it'll start switching around September, October. The shrimp will start working a lot better then. But as we get into the heat of summer, the shrimp just don't work as well as the bait fish do.
No, they don't work as well. They're small. They're dying in your live well. The nice thing is our water temperature hasn't skyrocketed. We're still sitting at a very comfortable water temperature. So,
wow,
that's definitely a bonus.
Yeah, with the way things are going, I thought we'd be in the 90s by now. What is it, still mid-80s?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I did talk to Carl a minute earlier, and he was right outside of Boca Grande on the beach, and they had a tarpon on.
Yeah, he's been chasing those tarpon down there off the beach.
I got to tell you, people wonder why tarpon fishing is so expensive, but Carl's been going inside, up on the hill, running back out, up to Venice, Englewood, routinely, and coming back.
Yeah, and he's probably putting him at the beach complex.
I mean, and that's, you know, you're talking 60, 80-mile trips,
sure.
Sometimes more than that, you know, trying to find these fish and find the ones that are willing to eat. So
most definitely, and that's the key to it, is finding the ones willing to eat.
Yeah.
It's a long, hard day if you don't.
I had a rather interesting interview with one of the captains, but I couldn't even broadcast it. He was so excited today. They were, you know, with fish and doing everything else, and he forgot we try to keep the show like PG rated anyway. he was pushing his way right into the X. he was well into R, going beyond. he was excited and frustrated all at the same time, and so it was a little too R rated for our broadcast, so that one probably won't be airing. But yeah, that's what tarpon fishing will do to you.
Oh, yes, it will. Quickly.
Yes. So, anyway, I guess I'll let you go. Anything you want to add?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, this is Fishing Frank in the chair here, and that is Captain Kale on the phone, and trying to get you guys back and updated on what's going on in the wide, weird, wonderful, wacky world of fishing. And we'll catch you guys in the next Radio Fishing. Thanks so much for listening.